Picture this. You are seeing Terrence in your primary care clinic, a 46-year-old man with no past medical history, but with a family history of, quote, heart disease. Some doctor told me once that my ECG is abnormal, he tells you. You obtain an ECG, which shows changes consistent with left ventricular hypertrophy. On exam, his blood pressure is 152 over 88 millimeters of mercury. A crescendo-decrescendo systolic murmur can be heard all the way to the carotids. You know that this physical exam finding makes this diagnosis. What is the murmur? And what diagnosis does it point towards? How will you explain the diagnosis to Terrence? Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Laurel Toft, bringing cardiology from our bricks to your ears. But first, a quick shout out to the learning platform that makes Audio Bricks possible, the RX Bricks, which is the source of all content you hear on this podcast. If you've been holding off on checking this out, well, we're running a promotion right now where you can get a full Bricks subscription for 50% off using the code RXPOD. That's RX Pod, you know, like the RX Podcast. The link to the Bricks is in the show notes, along with the promo code if you forgot it already. And now for today's podcast. After completing this section, you will be able to 1. Define aortic stenosis, AS, and describe the common symptoms and why they occur. 2. Explain 3 common causes of AS and list the risk factors for each. 3. Explain the most common exam findings and radiology tests used to diagnose AS. And 4. Describe the management of AS, including the indications for valve replacement. Part 1. What is aortic stenosis? Aortic stenosis, or AS, is a condition in which the aortic valve doesn't open completely, causing the heart to work harder to pump blood through the narrowed opening in order to deliver blood to the rest of the body. Let's start with the anatomy. The aortic valve is positioned between the left ventricle, LV, and the aorta, which is the main artery that leaves the heart and supplies blood to the rest of the body. When the LV contracts during systole, the aortic valve leaflets open, letting blood flow out of the LV and into the rest of the body. In AS, the aortic valve leaflets become stiff and unable to fully open, making it difficult for the heart to pump blood out. Instead of nice, thin, pliable, meaning flexible, leaflets, in AS the leaflets become thickened, hardened, and even chunky with deposits of calcium on the leaflet edges. When these valve leaflets can't open completely, blood flow out of the LV during systole is reduced. And if the restriction of blood from the LV becomes severe enough, it can lead to a lack of oxygen getting to various tissues in the body, which is the basic mechanism underlying the symptoms of AS. Wait for it, symptoms coming up in just a minute. Before we move on, let's pause to check your knowledge. Question: why is blood flow exiting the heart during systole reduced in aortic stenosis? Answer is, blood flow during systole is reduced in AS because the valve leaflets can't completely open. As for the epidemiology of this disease, AS is commonly seen in patients over 65 years of age. Most cases over the age of 75 are a result of calcification and occur more commonly in the male population. Part 2. How do patients with aortic stenosis present? Most patients with AS are asymptomatic for years as the degree of stenosis slowly progresses until it becomes severe. So sometimes the diagnosis is made when the murmur of AS is discovered on a routine exam or during a check for another condition. However, once patients begin to experience symptoms due to severe AS, their survival actually starts to decrease. There are 3 classic symptoms of AS, and they each give very important information about a patient's prognosis. I find it helpful to remember the symptoms with the mnemonic ASD in order of worsening survival or prognosis. A stands for angina, S for syncope, and D for dyspnea. So first up, angina. In general, angina or chest pain is caused by decreased blood flow through the coronary arteries to the myocardium, the heart muscle. Angina occurs in patients with severe AS because the coronary arteries open from the aorta directly after the aortic valve. Decreased flow from the LV through the stenotic valve leads to decreased coronary blood flow and therefore angina. Patients with angina from AS have an average 5-year survival from onset of symptoms. Next, syncope. Patients with severe AS have loss of consciousness, or syncope, due to transient decrease of blood flow to the brain, again because of the tight stenotic valve. These patients have an average 3-year survival from onset of symptoms. On a side note, I always found it strange that syncope was not the most dramatic or worst prognostic indicator. Losing consciousness because of lack of blood to the brain seems pretty serious to me. And lastly, dyspnea. Shortness of breath, a symptom of heart failure, also called dyspnea, occurs in severe AS because the pressure load on the left ventricular myocardium eventually causes it to hypertrophy and then weaken. This weakened myocardium leads to backup of fluid into the lungs, called pulmonary edema, which causes dyspnea. These patients have an average 2-year survival from onset of symptoms. Got all that? Let's do a quick quiz to find out. What are the 3 symptoms of severe aortic stenosis? AS classically presents with angina, syncope, and dyspnea. Part 3. What is the pathophysiology of aortic stenosis? The aortic valve leaflets become stiff and immobile, most commonly due to calcification of the valve. Less common causes include a congenital bicuspid valve, meaning you're born with 2 leaflets instead of 3, and rheumatic heart disease. Valve calcification is the most common cause of AS. Over time, inflammation causes the aortic valve to scar, thicken, and eventually calcify and stiffen. Risk factors for this process include old age, male gender, smoking, hypertension, high levels of LDL cholesterol, and diabetes. Basically, your classic cardiovascular risk factor ensemble. A related term you may hear is aortic sclerosis, which means calcification and thickening of the aortic valve without any restriction of blood flow from the LV. This eventually progresses to aortic stenosis, which is characterized by that obstructive blood flow. Knowledge check time. What are 6 risk factors that lead to aortic sclerosis? Aortic sclerosis is the precursor to AS, and its risk factors include old age, male sex, smoking, hypertension, high LDL cholesterol, and diabetes. Like I mentioned before, an uncommon but interesting cause of AS is a congenital bicuspid valve. A bicuspid aortic valve, meaning 2 leaflets instead of 3, is the most common congenital malformation of the aortic valve and occurs in 1 to 2% of the population. These 2 leaflets of the bicuspid valve aren't able to hold up as well to normal wear and tear, and they tend to calcify more easily than a normal tricuspid valve. AS due to a bicuspid valve therefore develops at an earlier age in a patient's 40s or 50s, rather than the older age associated with calcific aortic stenosis in a normal aortic valve. Clinical correlation time. Bicuspid aortic valve is associated with dilation of the aortic root, called aortic aneurysm. This is like the stretching of a balloon and puts the aorta at risk of dissection, a tear in the lining of the blood vessel wall, or even rupture. When a bicuspid valve is identified, the patient should also be screened for aortic root aneurysm. Bicuspid valves exist in isolation, but may occasionally be associated with congenital heart defects or genetic syndromes. Inheritance may be in an autosomal dominant pattern with incomplete penetrance. Some cases also may be a component of the familial thoracic aneurysm syndrome. A third cause of aortic stenosis is rheumatic heart disease. Rheumatic heart disease is the result of the autoimmune disease rheumatic fever, which is caused by group A beta hemolytic streptococcus infection. If the infection is left untreated, the body creates antibodies to a surface protein on the bacteria, called the M protein, that mimics a protein on the lining of the heart. This in turn directs the body's immune system to attack the lining of the heart, causing inflammation and scarring of the heart valves, most commonly the mitral and then aortic valve. This scarring leads to calcification and stenosis of one or both affected valves. Rheumatic heart disease remains rare in the developed world, less than 2 cases per 100,000, which raises the possibility of genetic variation among children of Asian and Pacific descent, where the disease still remains prevalent. So now that we've discussed what leads to aortic stenosis, let's discuss the physiology of what happens to the heart with this hardened, narrowed valve. AS causes the left ventricle, the LV, to work much harder. Instead of pumping blood through a wide-open valve, the LV must pump through a tight, narrowed valve. To do this, the LV must mount a higher pressure than normal, leading to a pressure gradient, meaning a difference, between the LV and the aorta during systole. So how does this affect the pressures inside the circulatory system? Well, normally, the systolic pressure in the LV is only slightly greater than the systolic pressure in the aorta because the aortic valve is wide open with no obstruction between the two. In AS, however, the systolic pressure in the LV is much higher than the pressure that makes it into the aorta. Remember that graph showing pressure in cardiac chambers during different phases in the cardiac cycle? Well, if you picture time along the x-axis and pressure on the y-axis, we can imagine two curves, one representing the pressure in the LV and the other the pressure in the aorta. Normally, during systole, the pressure in the LV skyrockets until it crosses the higher resting pressure in the aorta, at which point the aortic valve opens. In a person with a normally functioning aortic valve, the pressure inside the LV and aorta will be equivalent as they rise and then fall with the ejecting blood. Once the pressure in the left ventricle falls below the resting pressure in the aortic valve closes. Now, the key difference in a patient with aortic stenosis is that the pressure inside the LV will be much higher than that inside the aorta during systole when the valve is open. Instead of the two curves rising and falling identically, the LV pressure curve is much higher than the pressure that reaches the aorta. Another way to understand this phenomenon is with a pressure volume loop. Now, recall a normal pressure volume loop with volume on the x-axis and pressure on the y-axis. There are four phases to the loop, representing diastole or LV filling, isovolumetric contraction, systole when blood is ejected from the LV, and isovolumetric relaxation. The difference between the right and left sides of the loop, isovolumetric relaxation and contraction, is the stroke volume, representing the volume of blood ejected. The point on the graph when the aortic valve opens for ejection of blood corresponds to the pressure described as afterload. The increased pressure gradient in AS represents increased afterload on the heart, similar to what is seen in patients with very high systemic blood pressure. Recall that increased afterload reduces the ventricular force of contraction, leading to increased end-systolic volume. This results in a reduced stroke volume, or less blood exiting the heart. These two characteristics, increased afterload and decreased stroke volume, create a different shape for the pressure volume loop in AS. This PV loop is tall and thin, a characteristic shape that distinguishes it from the loops in other valvular diseases. Another important aspect to the physiology of AS is preload dependence. This means that if the LV is to pump blood through the narrowed opening of the stenotic aortic valve, it needs enough pressure as well as enough fluid to squeeze through the tiny opening. The pressure and volume flowing through the right side of the heart are controlled by the tone of the venous blood vessels. If these veins dilate, they can hold a lot of fluid. And in that situation, less blood is returned to the right side of the heart, leading to less blood pumped into the pulmonary circulation. And so, because less blood enters the lungs, less blood returns from the lung to the left atrium, ultimately decreasing the preload or forward pressure into the LV. Anything that drops the preload by dilating the veins can be potentially dangerous for patients with severe AS. Knowledge check time. What happens to the pressure gradient between the LV and the aorta during systole in a patient with AS? The pressure gradient between the LV and the aorta increases in a patient with AS. All right, now that you understand the physiology of AS, let's talk about how to characterize the severity. The normal triangular orifice of the aortic valve is approximately 3 to 4 centimeters squared. Stenosis occurs when the area decreases below this normal range and obstructs flow. An aortic valve area less than 1 centimeter squared will often lead to symptoms and have an adverse effect on the LV, hypertrophy. This is because a low valve area will increase the pressure gradient across the valve, raising the LV pressure, and will also reduce the maximum aortic blood velocity, reducing flow to the body. Both the aortic valve area and the pressure gradient across the valve are important to characterize the severity of the disease. It's important to also understand the complications of AS. Thinking back to the symptoms, dyspnea is the symptom with the worst prognosis. That's because dyspnea is a sign of heart failure. Initially, patients with AS develop non-systolic heart failure, which can progress over time to systolic heart failure. So what causes the non-systolic heart failure in AS? Well, with chronic AS, the pressure load on the LV causes concentric left ventricular hypertrophy, wall thickening, over time. The thickened LV causes a decrease in ventricular compliance, which leads to diastolic dysfunction, also called non-systolic heart failure. In this case, the thickened ventricle cannot fill well, decreasing the LV end diastolic volume and thereby decreasing stroke volume. As it worsens, AS can also cause other typical signs of non-systolic heart failure. The hypertrophied ventricle can lead to an S4 gallop, or an extra heart sound heard on heart exam. It can lead to a larger and more lateral point of maximal impulse, or PMI. The increased left atrial pressure and pulmonary capillary pressure can lead to respiratory crackles, heard on lung exam due to increased left atrial and pulmonary capillary pressure, and atrial fibrillation and irregular heart rhythm. And so how does systolic heart failure develop, you must be wondering? Well, as the LV hypertrophy worsens, LV compliance decreases. The decreased compliance causes an even higher pressure gradient in the LV. As the heart works harder and harder to pump blood through a tighter aortic valve, the heart muscle eventually weakens. Basically, the LV can't even anymore and poops out. Part 4. How do we diagnose aortic stenosis? Patients with symptoms concerning for AS, like syncope, angina, shortness of breath, should be examined with attention to the heart and lungs. The classic physical exam finding for AS is a systolic murmur that gets louder and then softer, called crescendo decrescendo for the musicians. This murmur is caused by the turbulent blood flow through the stenotic aortic valve, like putting your finger over the end of a hose and making it spurt harder and faster. The intensity of the murmur changes with how much blood flow is going through the aortic valve. Decreased aortic blood flow means a quieter murmur, and increased aortic blood flow means a louder murmur. The amount of blood flowing through the aortic valve can be changed with various maneuvers. The murmur will become quieter when the patient bears down, called Valsalva, or stands. Both of these cause decreased preload and lead to less blood flow through the aortic valve. Conversely, the murmur will become louder with increasing preload, like when the patient squats. This leads to more blood flow through the aortic valve. Another sign of AS is a delayed, dulled, carotid pulse called pulsus parvus et tardus, parvus meaning weak and tardus meaning late. With AS progression, it takes a longer time to complete the contraction of the LV and then close the aortic valve. This can be detected by listening to the heart while at the same time feeling the carotid arteries in the neck. Normally, these two should occur almost simultaneously. However, if the carotid upstroke is noticeably delayed after the S2 heart sound, then pulsus parvus et tardus is present, indicating severe AS. Quiz time! Why do patients with AS have pulsus parvus et tardus? The delayed dulled carotid pulse seen in patients with AS occurs because as AS progresses, it takes a longer time to complete the contraction of the LV and close the aortic valve. If the exam is suspicious for AS, consider diagnostic studies. Cardiac ultrasound, called echocardiogram, is the preferred test and will usually show thickening and calcification of the aortic valve along with any malformations, for example, bicuspid valve. Doppler echocardiography that shows the direction of blood flow is also used to determine the amount of flow through the aortic valve and the pressure gradient between LV and the aorta. This is important in determining the severity and therefore treatment of AS. Part 5. How do we manage aortic stenosis? Most bad outcomes from AS, such as heart failure, arrhythmias, and death, happen in patients who are symptomatic. So, if a patient with AS is asymptomatic, watchful waiting with repeat echocardiograms is recommended. However, remember, once patients develop symptoms, their survival decreases. Let's see if you got that. What is the focus on treatment for patients with AS with no symptoms? Watchful waiting with repeat echocardiograms is the focus for asymptomatic patients with AS. Now, AS cannot be cured or even really treated with medications, although blood pressure control is recommended. We always say you can't treat a mechanical problem with medications. But it is important to avoid medicines that can be harmful. Patients with severe AS, remember, are preload dependent, and therefore caution should be exercised with medications that decrease preload. Most importantly, nitroglycerin should be avoided because it dilates blood vessels. This medication is routinely given to people who show up to the emergency room with chest pain. But if the chest pain, angina, is due to AS and not coronary artery disease, the nitroglycerin can cause the patient to decompensate rapidly. The only definitive treatment for patients with symptoms from AS is aortic valve replacement, AVR. The new valve can be inserted through open heart surgery or through a minimally invasive procedure using an arterial catheter. AVR is indicated for severe, symptomatic aortic stenosis or significant aortic stenosis if they're already undergoing another heart surgery. Because in AS, survival starts to rapidly decrease with the onset of symptoms. Average survival is 5 years after developing angina, 3 years after syncope, and 2 years after dyspnea or heart failure. And that's it for aortic stenosis. Let's check your knowledge and see what you've learned today. First, can you describe aortic stenosis? Aortic stenosis occurs when the aortic valve leaflets become stiff and are not able to fully open, making it difficult for the heart to pump blood to the rest of the body. What are the three classic symptoms of AS and what causes them? The three classic symptoms of AS are angina, syncope, and dyspnea. Angina is caused by decreased blood flow down the coronary arteries to the heart muscle, and syncope is caused by decreased blood flow to the brain. Both are caused by less blood exiting through the tight aortic valve. Dyspnea is a sign of heart failure caused by the heart pumping against a higher pressure gradient, leading to backup of fluid into the lungs. What are the three common causes of AS? The three most common causes of AS are degenerative calcifications leading to stenosis in elderly patients, congenital bicuspid valve causing early stenosis in middle-aged patients, and rheumatic heart disease. Next, what are two classic exam findings for AS? One classic physical exam finding for AS is a systolic murmur that gets louder and then softer, called a crescendo-decrescendo murmur. Pulsus parvus et tardus, delayed and diminished, is another. And finally, how are patients with AS managed? Patients with asymptomatic severe AS can often be observed with serial echocardiograms. Patients with symptomatic severe AS require valve replacement. And we're done! Armed with your newfound knowledge of aortic stenosis, let's revisit our patient from earlier in the episode. Remember, you are seeing Terrence, who comes in with an abnormal ECG and a murmur. What is the murmur from, and how do you explain the diagnosis? Terrence's murmur and delayed pulses are consistent with aortic valve stenosis. Based on his age, the likely etiology is a bicuspid aortic valve. You explain that his heart works harder to push out the blood through the narrowed valve, and with this extra work, his heart muscle, like any other, gets bigger. You recommend an echocardiogram with Doppler, and because he is asymptomatic, he can be followed up with serial echocardiograms to assess any progression of the stenosis. He is told to contact you immediately if he has chest pain, shortness of breath, or syncope. And that's our show. Make sure to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you like what you heard. Remember, your feedback helps us improve. And again, now's your chance to get 50% off the RX Bricks by following the link in the show notes below and typing in the promo code RXPOD, like RX Podcast. It's a huge discount on the written material that serves as the foundation of Audio Bricks, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. So go check that out if you haven't already, and help keep Audio Bricks free. Until next time, friends.